Okay, well, I'm glad you're here because I just wanted to talk to you about the allergy stuff going on because I know it's spring and I know that's the season. And yesterday when I was at track with Levi, because he has really bad seasonal allergies or all allergies really, but I noticed even mine were acting crazy and I'm like, I really don't get seasonal allergies that bad. But then it made me think about what you were sent me the other day,
Yeah,
talking about the trees and stuff, how
the
they,
TikTok
and what was it, the 1940s?
in the 1940s, they decided that they weren't gonna plant female trees anymore. They're only planting male trees now. So in all of the neighborhoods since the 1940s, whenever they're doing the landscaping, it's just a basic thing that they do where they
But
just
why?
plant the
Why
male
don't they
trees.
do female trees?
Because they said it would be too much of a mess for the female trees, because the female trees would produce nuts, produce fruit,
Oh,
they would
brother.
produce things. So it's like the male trees, they just produce pollen to pollinate the female trees. So there's just
Oh.
this huge amount of pollen in the air like never before. So it's not even necessarily that people have, everybody's getting these horrible allergies now. It's not even necessarily that people 100 years ago wouldn't have developed the same issue. They may
Yes.
have developed the exact same issue. Because you're not used to it. It's not natural. During natural growth, you're going to have female and male trees. The males are going to release the pollen. The females are going to absorb that pollen, and then they're going to create the fruit.
Okay, so
So
we have nothing absorbing it. So
we have
basically,
nothing absorbing
we're
it.
absorbing it
Yeah,
and suffering.
we're just breathing it all in 24/7, and it's just everywhere, all around us, all the time.
Well, I've noticed even like on the cars or different stuff outside, if you're ever outside, you can actually see it sometime.
Yeah.
This time of year, like a thin layer, like on the outside table and the outside furniture. I'm like, this is insane.
I don't think it was an accidental idea. I don't think it was because of a mess. I don't think anybody was afraid that there was going to be fruit people weren't going to eat. I don't think that was the problem at all. I think probably it's a lot more beneficial financially for companies to not have free food readily available for people.
That makes sense. Of
So.
course, they wouldn't want that because then they wouldn't be making profits or any money.
Yeah. Well, you were telling me that story about your friend.
Yes, she lived in Hawaii, and this is probably about at least 30 something. Well, actually, probably 40 years ago because her kids are like in their late 40s. But she said that because she lived on a military base with her husband, they didn't have any money, they were just living on his salary. And they were very poor, but she said in Hawaii at that time they just had fruit growing wild, like everywhere. You just side of the road, oh, there's watermelon everywhere. Side of the road, pineapples everywhere, and papayas, just all that natural stuff. And she said they lived on that stuff.
I imagine so. I would too.
So yeah, it was, and bananas too.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like everywhere they went, they just had that food. They had all that natural stuff. And I mean, like I said, I don't know if it's in like all states could sustain that because I know they do get a lot of rainfall and different
Yeah.
things.
We have weather different weather
But
and
still, there's
yeah.
different things. There's nuts, there's seeds, there's all
Yes.
kinds of different climates that things come from. So if they would have just left nature alone, I think, yeah, we'd
Yeah.
be okay. But they wouldn't have that profit. And now, kind of in Hawaii, like they have that big dole
That
plantation.
opened up, yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know. Like
Can you
it's,
still do that now? Can you still go
yes.
pick this wild fruit for free?
Can you? That's the question. And I actually have not looked into that. I'm going to look into that because I wonder, because that was so long ago. But now that they started those plantations and stuff and it's mass. You know, massively produced. I mean, you go in any grocery store in America, anywhere, you're seeing the Dole
Yeah.
brand.
And you definitely see some issues with Hawaii in general, where there's a lot of people of basically the elites that have wanted to take Hawaii over, which it's very beautiful. I mean,
Oh,
you can
yeah.
see why that would
Why
be
they
a
would want
place of
it.
choice. But I mean, to run out the other population, the native population, the people that have been there for generations is insane. But
Yeah, it's sick.
there's
Makes me
certainly,
furious.
yeah, there's certainly an underground kind of
Oh
thing
yeah,
going on
definitely.
when
Just
you
like with
see
all
the
the
fire.
fires and stuff like that. It's really disturbing and it's really sad that they're
So,
getting away with stuff like that.
but that is, I mean, it is very interesting. And now we have, there's not just the profit for food, right? There's this, nobody can really live off the land. You can't go and gather
No.
anymore, right? And they've created so many, they've condensed these homes. And so it's not like it's easy to hunt either. A lot of times you have to pay to hunt. You have to pay, you have to get your license, you have to go to specific places.
Yeah, you have to sometimes like lease out property. I know my brother-in-law did that for a long time. He had property that he leased, basically. He would lease and just go and get to hunt and then, process the meat. But it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna just go hunting.
So, I mean, it's very difficult for people to do those natural ways of feeding themselves, feeding their families. It's very hard to live off of the land now, even when you want to.
It is. And even like we've tried having little like raised bed gardens here, and it's kind of like the time you put in the soil, you water, do whatever you're gonna do, it's almost impossible. It's cheaper to get it at the grocery store than it is to water and keep it
Yeah,
alive.
because they've made everything so expensive,
I
every
know.
last little thing. And then the natural soil that we have, it's been treated by so many different chemicals. It's difficult to trust what you're really even growing. And all of the things that we're getting at the store too, because of how rapidly the turnover is to produce these fruits, to produce these vegetables, they're not really coming out with the same standard amounts of
Nutrients.
nutrients, the vitamins, the
No.
minerals. It's not, they're not in the soil anymore.
Nope.
And so it really makes for a very vitamin deficient, nutrient deficient, mineral deficient society.
Definitely. I mean, and that even, I mean, going back to like the in a like a Bible sense, even then they said let the land rest, let the ground rest for 7 years. And that's like stuff that they knew way back then. That like how do they know those things back then? But they, it shows you, we do have our higher power and stuff. But it's like to me, I find that kind of stuff fascinating because it's like we don't let it rest like they say to do. And I was watching a show one time. It was a guy. He did like the try to do the organic, like farming and like the cattle and stuff. And that's what he did. He moved his cattle. He would have them on one piece of land and move them to another piece of land. But to get that meat, it's so expensive. So expensive. The normal average American cannot afford it. And it's like he does it because he believes in it, but it's also expensive for him. So, that's why he can, I mean, and he can sell it for what he wants, I guess, for the elite people that can purchase it. But like just the everyday American, the kids, our children that need those nutrients need it. It's so disturbing that it's not readily available for us. It's actually, it makes me angry to think that like the government, Congress, they're all in on this. They're all doing it to us. And they don't care.
They don't care, and they're so, the profits that they get, they always make sure that it's not just as simple as one thing. So it's not even just the buying of the food. We're spending so much money on allergy medicine.
We are. I have it under my cupboard right now. I have to give Levi's medicine every day.
I live off of nasal spray. I'm addicted to this stuff because I can't get off of it because it's impossible.
Oh my word.
So it's just you're spending so much money, and people spend a lot of money treating allergies. A
Yeah, they do.
lot.
I know. We tried allergy shots for Levi. We did the drops first. I mean, basically nothing really. I mean, they were saying it had good chances, but nothing really fixed it.
What was the process of that?
The process, the drops were basically they tested him for his allergies. They saw what he was allergic to. He had a lot of seasonal, a lot of like animal allergies. Thank God, no food allergies. But they test him for that. And then basically they take high concentration like drops and of every allergen. They put it in these drops and you just do a drop like every day. You do just a few drops every day. And then it's basically to build up your body's immunity because your body is resisting those allergies. Even though the allergy might not be a bad thing, like pollen's not horrible, your body thinks it's horrible. Like you're reacting and you're reacting to it. So it supposedly is supposed to build up an immunity, and that didn't work. So we did the shots. The shots were not like steroids. They were basically the same concept. They took the allergens, little bits of it, of everything, and then slowly once a week you would go in and get a shot to see if it would build some immunity. I would say seasonal allergies are a tiny bit better. Animals, no. But it was an expensive process, a timely process. It was like so defeating too. And then when you realize where all this stuff came from. And not to get off the allergy subject, but going back to the ground, we're talking about everything they put. Did you hear today? I saw that they announced like Cheerios and the Quaker Oats have that pesticide in them so strong that it's killing. I'm going to look it up because I just want to know the name of it. I read it this morning.
Is it the Roundup?
It's not. I don't think it's the Roundup.
I know that's been involved in like class action suits for causing cancer. I also was hearing that they're going to be banning like Hot Cheetos and all sorts of things that aren't even, they haven't been available in other countries. If ever, they haven't been available in a long time, if they've ever been available there. But we're just now thinking about doing that. But they'll spend so much time to pass a TikTok ban overnight.
I know. It's
but
ridiculous.
It takes forever to get them to ban these kinds of things.
Well, and the sad thing is like, because when that stuff came out with Kellogg's, you know, and their profits and telling people to eat cereal, I was like, I'm not doing Kellogg's anymore. No, I'm not doing that. But then I still did like Cheerios, the General Mills. And then, so I do have Cheerios, but after this, I'm like, I threw them out today.
So
it was like Cheerios and the Quaker Oats might contain the chloromequat. It's spelled C-H-L-O-R-M-E-Q-U-A-T. So I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's a pesticide linked to infertility in animals. So it's basically a reproductive.
A reproductive effective.
And that, what are the odds of like people having reproductive health right now?
Right,
it's skyrocketed.
We've had
over the last several years
an issue with declining birth rates in the world.
Yes, and this is saying that they contain that and they grow it. They use that in there to grow it, and the oats just hold on to it. So it's just like it's so frustrating.
And you would think that this is the thing too, is we're pushed on this idea and this concept of we can fix our problems, we can fix our issues, whether it's with weight and all the different issues that are related to weight. If you would just eat healthy, what is one of the number one things that they're going to recommend when you go to a doctor or even a nutritionist? One of the things they're going to push is oatmeal. They're going to say, oh yeah, get you some oatmeal.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's supposed to be something that's really good for you.
It's oats. It's supposed to be good. It's supposed to be good in fiber and everything else. And you know,
filling.
That's one of the first thing you feed your baby, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you might start out with when they're 4 months old, probably like a little rice cereal, but then you move on to the little oatmeal stuff. And it's like, it's so disturbing to me. It makes me, I'm so furious. Like, if people just could stand together somehow and like boycott these companies, just like, I mean, Kellogg's, that was a big thing. I think people really stood up.
Yeah,
that was the Cheerios too. It's like,
but we need more.
Yes,
we need more. And the really staying on the same subject, have you heard about Lunchables?
Yes, I did.
Lead. They have.
Yes,
lead.
I did.
They shouldn't have any lead in them.
I know.
But the fact that they actually have an amount of lead that they're legally allowed to have in there, but they've surpassed that.
Why? Like, why do they need it in there?
Why do they need any lead? Exactly.
It's sick.
They banned paint because of lead. They said kids were eating the paint chips and that was causing lead poisoning. But the weirdest part is, you know, the paints that we use now, I don't know if you've ever heard about this little conspiracy theory, Jim, but they say that lead paint prevents, like, radiation. And it is a protectant. Lead-based paint is a protectant against radiation coming into your home.
Wow.
And so even like through spying techniques, if you want to get really deep into that kind of like conspiracy theory type thing, it blocks it. When you're getting an x-ray, like for your teeth, what do they guard your body with? That's a lead vest.
Yes, that's right.
And so, but that was a ban, and that went into full effect. You can't have lead paint.
No.
But supposedly it was to protect the children from consuming lead in paint.
Oh, yeah.
But
they're licking the walls.
Yeah. But they can consume the lead in a Lunchable, which is actually specifically given them
for children.
Yeah.
I'm not going and buying me a Lunchable.
Yeah.
But I've bought them for the kids several times. Yes. I won't anymore.
I know. My little one eats Lunchables nonstop, and I grew up eating them nonstop. And to think, now, I don't think anybody has ever peeled lead paint off and fed it to their child for lunch every single
yes,
day.
Yes, I don't think so.
No, but to put it in food that they eat for lunch that's specifically designed for children, I guarantee you if you were to test lead levels nowadays for these kids eating just a typical diet, I wonder how it would measure up with the average child 50 years ago during the lead paint phase.
Oh man, I wish they would do that. Honestly, that would be a fascinating study because too, like autism's on the rise, mm-hmm. and they say that actually, they did like a little study where they tested them and they hold higher levels of metals. And, you know, that's trying to get that out of the body and stuff is one thing you can do. But if you're eating it, if you're feeding them that stuff and they don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, oh, it's so easy. You know, you're running here, you're running there. Sometimes, yes, you do want to just make it easier. And yes. You want to grab your kids a snack or something.
Absolutely. And we don't have, it's not even just the food. We're not safe with the air that we breathe.
No.
We're not safe with the air that we breathe. The cloud seeding thing has gone insane. Now, I have heard recently that they're trying to get it. They're trying to pass a law where they can't do the cloud seeding in Tennessee. I don't know how that's going to work, if it's going to work, because they're doing it everywhere. It's worldwide. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, it's something to do with climate change. It's under the protective action of climate change that they are stuffing our entire air, our skies, with fake clouds that are made with aluminum or silver dioxide, mm-hmm. and all of these kinds of things. How on earth could that be safe or be healthy for anybody?
It's not. We're guinea pigs, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. And I remember reading about how when they were first experimenting, they were experimenting on troops during the Vietnam War. That was one of the first big ones. Mm. So they wanted to make it rain constantly in Vietnam, and they wanted to test out this theory of this cloud seeding, and they thought that it would be bad for the enemy. And our troops, our American troops, had no idea that that's what they were in for. They had no idea that they were doing that to them, but they're just in this rain. And when you watch like a movie like Forrest Gump, that where he goes to Vietnam,
yeah,
and there's this scene where he's talking about, oh, it rained for days and days. We had giant rain. We had crazy rain that came in from the side. And I used to watch that as a child and be like, huh, that's weird. I guess it rains there a lot. But no, this was basically alluding to the fact that the government was experimenting at that time with weather control.
Wow.
And with the rain control. And now we're all an experiment. And
oh, yeah.
Nobody's that well informed. You'll still see deniers of cloud seeding, but you can look it up on your local, you can go on, we're in Texas, you can go on texas.gov, you can look at the documents. They cloud seed constantly.
Oh,
we see it constantly. There should be no debate there. And then you have the situation in Dubai now, which is, if you've seen the videos on TikTok and stuff, they had, I think, about 2 years worth of rain within a few days.
Wow.
And I mean, literally the panels from the ceilings of the mall are just falling down onto the ground because they're not built. They don't have the infrastructure to withstand that kind of rain. But the clouds, it just proves that, number one, they don't know what they're doing.
Don't screw with Mother Nature.
Yes, you can't just go back and try to change everything to do with God. And going back to our thing where we were talking about the trees mm-hmm. and the pollen. So, I mean, if God creates a special plan of here are the trees, the male trees that produce this pollen, the female trees that absorb it, what happens when you decide to screw with nature and to go against the way that God designed things? What happens? You're going to have this horrible influx. There's always an aftermath. There's always an effect, a cause and effect. Mm-hmm. And now there's all this pollen in the air, and everybody's getting seasonal allergies.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's getting the horribly. And then now you have this cloud seeding. And what exactly is that causing, having all these metals brought into us? And what is it causing storm-wise? Because I feel like we've had the strangest weather.
We have.
Everyone will say global warming, climate change. I'm not saying that the earth isn't warming up. We're not talking about that.
No, I'm not saying that, because they're causing it.
If anything,
they're causing it. And I wouldn't say it's just us because we're driving in cars either. That's not the problem.
No. I was watching the Joe Rogan and the Tucker Carlson podcast, and one of the most interesting things was Tucker Carlson was talking about how AI and the AI that they're forming in Silicon Valley, this massive giant, it's actually going to take more energy than like anything else in the United States. But you don't hear anybody complaining about it. No environmentalists are complaining about that. And it's not even about, I'm not saying that I'm not an environmentalist. It's just looking at it from the lens of what does it mean to be an environmentalist? I love God's creation. Yes. You love God's creation. I want everything to be as natural and as genuine to the way that God made it. And I want the environment to be clean. I want it to be the way that it's meant to be. That's all I want.
Yep.
So it's like sometimes people need to really step back and look at what does it really mean to be an environmentalist? Or what does it mean to care about your environment?
Well, obviously the people that are in charge, or they're supposed to be in charge, are not, they don't have our best interests. Everybody's pocket is in everybody's hand is in everybody's pocket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't have our best interest at all.
No, never. So it's money.
Yeah. And they're the FDA, all those people, just everybody, all of them, they're not looking out for the people. They're just not.
No, they don't care about keeping the earth green. The only green they care about is the money.
That's true.
It's the only one that they care about.
And then the waters, for example, because we were talking about how, like, because we drink bottled water.
Yeah.
And then I just got to where I'm always thirsty. I was like, what's wrong with them? I'm always thirsty.
Yeah.
And that's when you were telling me that you read that they took everything out of our water.
Yeah. They basically, when they're running everything, whether it's tap water or most of the bottled waters that you're going to buy, they're removing all the minerals and all of the things that are supposed to be in water. So when you're drinking just straight water and there's no minerals in it, it's just going to go right through. You're going to run to the restroom. You're going to go need to pee every 5 seconds. It's not going to really benefit you at all. It'll make you have to buy a lot more water bottles, but that's about it. And so I started drinking the alkaline and the electrolyte water. I got the one from Trader Joe's, but I mean, it's, for me, I've noticed that it's like, I don't feel as thirsty. It's like I actually get like satiated.
Good.
From the drinking water.
I know.
I swear by it now.
After we talked about that, I said I was going to try doing adding the, because there's a doctor I follow on Instagram, and he's been talking about this a long time, about just adding like electrolytes. Mm-hmm. So he just says add a few grains of like the salt, the Celtic salt, to your water bottle. So I'm going to go that route, and I'm going to see how I feel, and I'll let you know.
Try it.
It's like, I'm so tired of always having to, okay, buy more. I got to buy this. I got to buy that. So salt's fairly cheap, reasonable. I'm just going to add it to my water and go from there. I'm going to actually start adding it to my kids, too.
Yeah, do it. Barbara O'Neill, I've heard her talking about it for a while add the Celtic sea salt. But I just never did it. Tell me how it works out for you, if you notice an effect.
I definitely will, because it's so insane to me. I was actually thinking the other day, because you know how we talked about our anxiety on
Yes.
and I was like, oh, what's that paint? Or, oh, what's this paint? And
Yes.
then I was so thirsty and I said, why am I so freaking thirsty all the time? And
Yes.
then, of course, you go to Google, don't do that. But it's like,
Yeah.
oh, diabetes. I'm like, diabetes? What's happening? I'm like, and then I was like, okay, this has to be something else going on. I just had blood work done. So I'm like,
Yes.
but it's like the more water I drink, then I feel more thirsty. It's
Yeah,
the
'cause it
truth.
runs right through you and you're not actually even getting what you need. 'Cause you need the
Yes.
water, but then you need the rest of it. You need what naturally would come in it if you were finding a natural
The
spring that
natural
was healthy and
spring.
clean and that was running and you could drink from it.
Yes.
It wouldn't just be this,
I wonder, this is on topic, but I'm just curious. I wonder if well water has the, like, 'cause when you have to drill a well,
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that has like the natural properties to
I
it.
don't know.
I'm just
I
curious.
wonder. I mean, you would think that maybe it
I
does.
mean, I know it has to be clean, so it has to go through the well tank. It has to be
Yeah.
like processed, but I'm gonna look into that.
I think
I'm
that,
just
yeah.
curious.
I mean, if you're ever wanting to do something where you're living off the land and you actually had your own well or something like
That's what I'm
that,
thinking.
I wonder how good that would be. I would think it would be so much better.
I'm curious. That's just my little curious thing for the day.
Speaking of water, well, not really on the same subject exactly, but I was thinking about this
Me
because we've been
drinking my
talking,
water.
yeah, because we've been talking about our positive thinking or something. Since we are trying to kind of turn over a new leaf.
Yes.
We want to have positive vibrations. We both suffer from anxiety.
Yes.
We're both always worrying about the future or our bodies. We're very in our bodies. And it did help me. I read the book by Eckhart Tolle. I'm reading A New Earth now. But before that, I read another book of his that I'll actually let you
Oh,
borrow it.
now.
Yes, The
Let me
Power of
The Power
Now.
of Now.
And,
I've only read chapter one, but I'm still going.
but it's really good because I like the focus of like sometimes we get so into our bodies and we're fixating on our bodies and we're fixating on the future and we're fixating on the past. We're not living in the now. And
Yes.
so one thing that I'm really trying to practice is just kind of living in that moment and living in that now and feeling that vibration. And so that's another thing that we've been talking about too, is kind of like how do we raise our vibration? How do we create a better life for ourselves? Or how do we get in control of our own thoughts and our own
Yes, that's a
minds?
big thing.
And I mean, just kind of going through some of the things that you and I have been talking about, since our bodies are like, what are they, 80% water?
Oh gosh, that's right.
Something
Yes.
enormous like that. But I was in the bath the other night and I was really looking, and it's like if you look at the bath waters, you're kind of every little movement, every little drop, it just creates this, that
That
big pat, yeah, that
vibration.
pattern. And I thought to myself, that's a frequency, that's a
That
vibration.
is.
So think about our bodies, like every single sound, it has to have the same effect. That vibration.
It does. And I know we talked about that a little on that last one about like the snowflake experiment,
Yes.
but that's kind of what I've been working. It's hard. It's hard because when you see things with your natural eye,
The eyes kind of mess you up.
but it's like, no, I'm gonna keep speaking positive. I'm gonna say this over ourselves. Like, we can have this, be positive
Yes.
and don't limit yourself because there's a scripture in the Bible and it's basically saying that he's not like a favor of any man or something.
Yeah.
I know I'm quoting that wrong, but it's to do to that fact. And I just think that we do limit ourselves. We limit ourselves mentally, we limit ourselves physically. We're like, oh, this is too hard. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't
Yeah.
do that. And then, we pass that on to our children. And I don't want to be that way. And I always want to have like hope. And when
Yeah.
they talk about hope in the Bible, it's not a hope of like, I wish this is going to happen. It's a hope of expectancy. When you have that hope, like, I expect this to happen, it will happen.
Yes.
And you have to have that kind of hope.
And it's, I think sometimes it can be so hard because we create paradigms for ourselves. And I loved Bob Proctor. He's passed on now, but he really helped me so much through so many years of my life, his teachings. And one of the things that he really would talk so much about are the paradigms that we would create for ourselves. And as we start to try to do better, you will see these patterns. Mm-hmm. You will see these paradigms. You will reflect back and you will think the way that your parents spoke.
Yes.
And you will kind of go, oh, I can't do this. I can't take a vacation right now. I can't afford this. I can't live like this. This won't be successful. I have to work so hard every day in order to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And you get this sort of ideas and their paradigms stuck into your mind, and it's so hard to see outside of that paradigm.
Yes, it is.
It's so hard to believe Jesus when he's talking to the disciples and he's trying to explain to them. And he's saying, look, if you are a parent and your child came to you and asked for a fish, would you give them a snake? And no. We love our children. We would always give them the fish. And so if you really just think about that, that is so true. And if he says, if our Father, think of how our Father loves us.
Yes.
If he loves us so much more, why would he give us something we don't want?
That's so good.
And we're in control of this. Jesus gives us that control. The Holy Spirit lives within us. It resides within us.
That's so good.
They gave us that. And so we have to really embrace it. We have to understand it and embrace it. And it starts with declaring with faith.
Yes. And it's so funny. It's so funny that you're talking about this, because this is like, because we didn't talk about this before.
Yes.
But this morning, I actually found this pastor I started listening to. He's not in America. And his name is Joshua McCooley. Mm-hmm. And I looked him up because I had a devotional I was doing of his on my Bible app. So I thought, I just love that devotional so much, I'm going to look him up. So I just found some stuff on YouTube. And that's exactly what he was talking about today. He was talking about fear, how we can overcome fear. And he was talking about love drives out fear. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about that same scripture. And he was like, if our God, he said, if we that are evil know how to give good things to our children,
yes.
our Father in heaven knows how to give stuff to us.
Yes.
And he was saying, don't ever doubt that. Because when you're doubting his love, that's fear.
Yes.
But if you actually accept God loves me, just declare it, God loves me. He created me. God loves me. I have a purpose.
Yes.
And it's like, you can declare that stuff over your life. You can speak it, call it meditation, whatever you want
yes.
to call it.
Yes.
But you can. And it's funny because I saw that video. A guy was talking about praying, and he was like, when I pray, I'm not begging, I'm not pleading.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did a study with the EEG or EKG?
Yeah, EEG.
On the brain and how it looks when you're begging. It kind of like shrinks. But
yeah.
when you're demanding, or not that you're demanding, but you're declaring it over your life,
yes.
it's like, it's so powerful.
Yes.
And there's a reason for that.
Your brain waves look different when you are speaking with authority.
Yes.
And God gave us authority.
He did.
Don't believe the lies that you don't have authority on this earth. And it's just like all of the things that we've talked about so far, whether it's the corporations trying to take control or the government is
yes,
out of control.
Because it is scary. We live in a scary world, but
yes.
we can't let that control. It's good to have the information.
Yes.
Like that's why we want to put it out there. It's great for people to talk about. But we don't want you thinking, oh, I'm going to go home and be terrified for the rest. God will take care of us,
yeah.
but you have to have that mindset.
It's the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. They want to put negative information out there constantly to scare
evil.
You. They want to talk about how you need to be afraid for everything, whether it is your children, the climate. I mean, whatever it is, the world, everything's getting destroyed. Everything's falling apart. Everybody's broke. Everybody's this. They want that fear
yes.
and that feeling of lack inside of you, deeply ingrained inside of you, because you can't do anything from a feeling of lack. That feeling of lack, like back to the EEG, when you're speaking and you're begging and you're down and you don't feel like you can do it, your brain waves are down. You're focusing, you're on a low frequency. There is very little focus coming out and you're not going to be able to manifest from that place.
No.
You're not going to be able to really, you have to have that authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about even going back to like the most simple, what is the most simple basic story in the Bible, right? You've got your Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
What really happened there? What is that story? What is that, whether you believe that it's a parable that is very useful or whether you believe that it was exact and it doesn't really matter which one.
Mm-hmm.
What is it trying to tell you? What was really the first sin? Was it eating fruit or was it something else? Because, yeah. I mean, you look at the situation, the serpent tricked Eve, right?
Yeah.
Tricked Adam. So we have that going on. But what was happening? How did he trick her? How did he trick Adam? How was anybody tricked? It began with a feeling of lack.
Yes, of, not good enough.
Yes,
you're not enough. You need more.
I need to be like God. Mm-hmm. I need to be like God. Mm-hmm. And then what happens next? What's the first thing that happens after they've consumed the fruit? They're
shame.
They're filled guilt. With shame. God comes. He's walking. They're still in the spiritual realm of some sort. The Garden of Eden, whether it's directly on this earth or whatever, it's protected in a spiritual realm still at this point. They haven't been let out into the real world yet.
Yes.
And God's walking and he's like, what are you doing? They're hiding. And they're saying, we're naked. So we're hiding from you. And he's like, who told you that?
Yeah.
And think about what that really is. It was lack. It was a feeling of lack.
Yeah.
They were not complete and they didn't think that God gave them enough anymore.
Yeah.
They felt like they needed material things. And I'm not saying that you can't have material things or that we, that's exactly, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we can have the things that we want.
We can have anything we're in this we
world.
Want.
Exactly. We're in this world and we can use our power to be able to travel and see the world and the beauty of the world and that sort of thing. But what I'm really saying is, there is this ingrained feeling of lack that came with that fall.
Yes.
And we need to realize that that did not come from God.
No.
And that shame did not come from God.
Mm-mm.
And that feeling of lack did not come from God. And so we need to be empowered. And we do need to know what's going on with the world because we're the ones that can stop it.
Yes.
When we're positive and we're speaking positive, we are the ones that have to get together and use that ability. And when even two people agree in Jesus' name, it will be done. And so we have to realize that when we're getting together and we're praying together or we're getting together and we're meditating or we're all just even focusing, we can be in separate places, but focusing on the same mantra of God is good and he will take care of all. We can do whatever it is. And we can make it happen, but it has to come from a place of authority.
Yes, that's right. We have to take that authority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ours. We just have to take it.
Yeah. And it was given to us, and it's a gift from our Father, and our Father would only give good gifts.
That's true.
He loves
us. That's true. That's what people, I think, a lot of people do. It's kind of like going back to the religion thing about feeling like you're not good enough, because a lot of times when you are in religions, it's like, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm not doing this enough. Oh, I'm sinning. Well, guess what? Everybody sins every day.
Yes.
There's no perfect person.
No person.
No perfect person. So it's kind of like, you might as well just throw, as long as you're trying and giving God, you know, God, I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
And you love God and God knows that and you're trying.
Yeah.
God is for you. He's not against you. And like I said, the fear that comes from the enemy, and it's believing his lies, like going back to that scripture about, he was like, or the sermon I was listening to earlier, he was talking about, which one are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the father that says, I love you? Or are you going to believe the father of lies?
Right. That's exactly true. And you have to remember too, it's like the devil is our persecutor.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus did when Jesus came down? Was he casting the stone? No. He was saying, let he who was without sin cast the first stone. He did not come to judge.
No.
He came to be persecuted because he shows us what human beings do with the truth.
Yes.
And how we treat the truth. And how we treat the authority of heaven when it's on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so really what we're looking at is it is Satan that is our accuser.
Yes.
He is the person that is against us.
Yeah.
He's the one that's saying, no, look what they did. I mean, if you read the book of Job, he's like, no, I can get him to fall.
Yeah.
He's the one that's accusing us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that that's the truth.
Yes.
And we have to fight against it. And we have to fight against that evil. And we have to come together and we have to form because we're powerful when we're in a unit.
Oh, definitely.
They're going to try to divide.
Praying together.
Yes.
I mean, just coming together in agreement. I mm-hmm. mean, that's the main thing too. Because it's like, yes, they will try to divide everybody. They want to divide religions. They want to divide race, like we
yes,
talked about.
Absolutely.
They want to divide it all. But if people really just stood together in love, like,
yes.
I mean, that really was the first, like, when Jesus said, what, or they asked you, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's really just love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes. Love others the way you want to, or treat others the way you want to be treated.
Yes.
Love others as you love yourself.
That is the main thing he talked about.
Yes.
And it's not like, oh, we need to do this, A, B, C, and D.
Yes.
It's that.
He said it fulfills all the commandments.
Yes. Because if you're really doing that, and I know it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to love unlovable people.
Sometimes. It can be. It certainly can
be. But it's something that you just kind of have to give. Like, for me, difficult people, like, that's been in my life, it's kind of like I just have to accept them for the way they are.
Yeah.
And then I'm kind of like, okay, I'll choose to love you from afar because it's, you mm-hmm. also don't want to be, like, submit yourself to, like, danger or, you know, bad things.
Do not spread your pearls among
swine. So, yes, but it's kind of like the people that are just, I'm not talking about like over the top stuff, but I'm talking about just people that are sometimes a little bit unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to choose and say, well, okay, I'm going to love that person. But, you know, you don't let their emotions or, like I said, their vibrations or anything try to
yes.
come into you, and don't take that onto yourself.
Yeah.
If anything, you just put it out there and they may even pick up on your vibration and start to become yeah. happier or more joyful and stuff like that. But just try not to take that on for yourself.
Well, and you have to remember too, like, just like we're talking about, if we're mostly water, we've got to protect that. Like, we don't want to have waves.
No.
And if we're all sort of giving off all of these vibrations, we're all our own unique vibration. When you break it down, all human beings are, all anything is they're atoms and they're all just vibrating together. They're not actually, we don't even understand how they're being held together exactly. that's how crazy it is. But I mean, we just have to really look at it that way. And you do have to be careful who you let affect your vibrations. Love them. But sometimes you do got to love them from a little bit of a distance because you can't get it all into yourself. You have to be protective of that vibration that is within yourself. And I think that that's something that we're going to work on a
yes,
lot more.
We're definitely going to work on it this year.
Yes, this is our thing. We're going to do this. We're going to make this happen where we can begin to break down those paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
Or however you want to call it, if you want to call it a generational curse.
Yes.
If you want to call it... if you want to say that it's a paradigm, or you want to say that it's just you capping yourself off, however yep. you want to do it, our goal is to just begin to break those down
yes.
through whatever means that we can.
Yep. And there is a scripture in the Bible that says, most of all, guard your heart.
Yes.
And I think when it's talking about guard your heart, it's not talking about like, oh, be careful of who you love. It's more of be careful of what you let in to your
yeah.
heart.
Yeah, you want to be careful. You want to guard the light that's in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to use it for good.
Yes.
That's why you need to guard it too.
You need to guard it through your ears, which you
mm-hmm.
hear, listen to, your eyes,
mm-hmm.
like just everything. Like if it's not serving, there's things you can look at and think about and they're like, oh, this just is not serving me.
Yeah.
Like this ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you know, okay, this is time to guard your heart.
Yeah. You know what you could handle and what you can't mm-hmm. handle. And so we need to focus more on that. And I think it'll work.
It will. We're going to get through this year, and I can't wait because we're going to stay positive about it.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of changes we can make.
Yep.